Next, we will join in worship with hymn number 157, Look Ye Saints, The Sight Is Glorious. Dick Kindig, read from us from Psalm 22, some thoughts from the cross.
Reading the first 8 verses and the 14th to the 22nd verses. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou answerest not. In the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, commit thyself unto Jehovah, let him deliver him. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. A company of evildoers have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them. And upon my vesture do they cast lots. But be not thou far off, O Jehovah. O thou my succor, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only dear life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, yea, from the horns of the wild oxen. Thou hast answered me. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the assembly will I praise thee.
And now we will have a reading. And sitting down, they watched him there, by Brother Jeff Hauser.
It's taken from Matthew 27:36, and sitting down they watched him there. Sitting down they watched him there, watched him, fairest of the fair, gazed with cold and pitying eye while the jeering crowd passed by. For his vesture cast a lot, seamless robe without spot. Watched the man of sorrows there, who the world's great sin must bear. Watched while darkness veiled the sun, watched until he cried, 'Tis done. God of heaven, forbid that I thus should gaze with pitiless eye on a suffering child of thine. Watch him while his foes malign, watch him while his lifeblood flows. Watch him until the dark days close. Grant me, Lord, a heart of love. Make me like a tender dove. Let me bring him strength and peace until death shall send release.
And now we'll join in the hymn 168. Man of Sorrows, what a name. And now we will have a reading by Brother Tim Armstrong, Purge Out the Old Leaven.
The lesson is that anything cherished in the heart which is contrary to the will of God, let it seem ever so insignificant or be ever so deeply hidden, will cause us to fall before our enemies. Any conscious root of bitterness cherished toward another, any self-seeking, any harsh judgments, any slackness in obeying the voice of the Lord, any doubtful habits or surroundings, these things, or any one of them, consciously indulged, will effectually cripple and paralyze our spiritual life. We may have hidden the evil in the inmost remote corners of our heart, and may have covered it over from our sight, refusing even to recognize its existence, although we cannot help being all the time secretly aware that it is there. We may steadily ignore it and persist in declarations of consecration and full trust. We may be more earnest than ever in our religious duties and have the eyes of our understanding opened more and more to the truth and the beauty of the life and walk of faith. We may seem to ourselves and to others to have reached an almost impregnable position of victory, and yet we may find ourselves suffering bitter defeats. We may wonder and question and despair and pray. Nothing will do any good until the wrong thing is dug up from its hiding place, brought out to the light, and laid before God.
And now we'll pause and we'll ask Brother Alan McAllister to offer a prayer of thanks for our Savior.
Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy name. We're indeed thankful for the many blessings thou hast bestowed upon us. Especially we're thankful for the gift of thy Son, thy only Son, that thou hast given as a ransom for all. We're thankful that we're able to walk in his footsteps, and we pray for thy help, that we may rely more and more upon thee and upon our dear shepherd. We're thankful that we're able to appreciate his sacrifice. We're thankful that we're able to participate and that we are participators in the sin offering. All of these things we indeed give thee wholehearted thanks that we're able to call thee Father and to recognize thy Son as our Savior. And we pray for forgiveness of our many shortcomings as we stumble in this way. Keep us in the hollow of thy hand, for we give thee all the praise and honor and thanks through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
And now we'll ask the choral group to come forward. The first will be Beneath the Cross of Jesus. And that will be followed by Moment by Moment. And then they will sing A Wonderful Savior. Three selections here that will be rendered by the choir.
Thank you. Oh.
We'll have Brother John Baker now with a poem on Tell Us About the Master. Brother John Baker.
Tell me about the Master. Tell me about the Master. I am weary and worn tonight. The day lies behind me in shadow, and only the evening is light. Light with a radiant glory that lingers about the west. My poor heart is aweary, and longs like a child for rest. Tell me about the Master, of the hills he in loneliness trod, when the tears and blood of his anguish dropped down on Judea's sod. For to me, life's 70 milestones, but a sorrowful journey mark. Rough lies the hill country before me, the mountains behind me are dark. Tell me about the Master, of the wrongs he freely forgave, of his love and tender compassion, of his love that is mighty to save. For my heart is aweary, of the woes and temptations of life, of the error that stalks in the noonday, of falsehood and malice and strife. Yet I know that whatever of sorrow or pain or temptation befall, the infinite Master hath suffered and knoweth and pitieth all. So tell me the sweet old story that falls on each wound like a balm, and my heart that is bruised and broken shall grow patient and strong and calm.
And now we'll have the hymn Alone. It's a duet. And now we'll ask Brother Dwayne Kramer to read the poem, Are Ye Able? Brother Dwayne.
Are ye able to walk in the narrow, straight way, with no friend by your side and no arm for your stay? Can you bravely go on through the darkening night? Can you patiently wait till the Lord sends the light? Are ye able to crush your soul's longing for love? Will ye seek for no friendship save that from above? Can ye pass through this world lone, unnoticed, unknown, while your faith faintly whispers, He knoweth His own? Where the feet of the Blessed One stood, can ye stand? Can ye follow His steps to a wilderness land? Are ye able to cast aside pleasure and fame? Can ye live but to glorify His precious name? Can ye smile, as His dear voice says tenderly, No, when the field is so white and your heart yearns to go? Can ye rest then in silence, contented and still, till your Lord, the chief reaper, revealeth His will? Are ye able to lay on the altar's pure flame that most treasured possession, your priceless good name? Can ye ask of your Father a blessing for those who see not in your life but to scorn and oppose? When the conflict twixt error and truth fiercer grows, can ye wield the strong sword against unnumbering foes? Can ye lift up the standard even higher and higher, while His praises ye sing in the midst of the fire? When ye see the Lord's cause going down to defeat, will your courage endure in the sevenfold heat? Will your faith keep you steadfast, though heart and flesh fail, as the new creature passes beneath the last veil? Ah, if thou thus we can drink of the cup He shall pour, and if never the banner of truth ye would lower, His beloved ye are, and His crown ye shall wear. In His throne He shall sit, and His glory shall share.
Now we'll ask Brother Wesley Kramer to have a reading from reprint 4429, Drink Ye All of It. Brother Wesley.
Drink ye all of it. Whoever fails to see clearly that the church at the present time are the members of the body of Christ can never understand how the church is to share her Lord's sacrifice as represented in His cup. After our Lord at the Last Supper had Himself partaken of the fruit of the vine, He handed the cup to the disciples, saying, This is My blood of the new covenant, shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it. Not only did our Lord drink of the symbolical cup before giving it to His disciples, but He drank of the same actual cup, the partaking of which He requires of us as an evidence of our loyalty as His disciples. This is the cup of shame, of sorrow, of indignity, of self-denial on behalf of others. The Master spoke of it as the cup which the Father had prepared for Him. He left some of it for us, that we might have the privilege of sharing in His sufferings and of the glory that shall follow as soon as the last member of this mystical body shall have been glorified. When He passed the cup to His disciples at the memorial supper, His words, "Drink ye all of it," not only meant that all who would be his disciples must drink of that cup, but also meant that his followers must drink all of it, must leave none of it. In other words, the sufferings of Christ belong exclusively to this gospel age, marked by his own sufferings at its beginning and terminating with the revelation of his glory in the kingdom. There will be none of the sufferings of Christ for the world to drink during the millennial age, and there will be no opportunity for any of them to become joint heirs with the Redeemer.
And now we'll have the choral group singing, "Oh, It Is Wonderful," and also "The Great White Throne." And when we get to that, we're going to join in on the screen on the part of it that is akin to the chorus. One other announcement. I thought the whole choral group was going to sing "A Wonderful Savior," but it was supposed to be a double quartet, and we'll have that at the ending of "The Great White Throne." So there will be a double quartet after the two hymns here. Well, now we'll have a wonderful Savior by the double quartet.
Oh, yeah.
And now we'll have a reading from Hebrews 1:1-9 and verse 13. We always like to keep the note of triumph before us. And so we'll ask Brother Larry McClellan to read this for us.
God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he made appointed heir to all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?
And now we'll conclude our reading with Brother David Chastain, The Songs in the Night.
Songs in the Night, March 28. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Matthew 6:19. The declaration respecting Peter's authority to bind and loose was a common form of expression in those days to indicate forbidding and permitting. One writer declares, No other terms were in so constant use in the rabbinic canon law as those of binding and loosing. They represented the legislative and judicial powers of the rabbinic office. This authority was shared by all the apostles, as we have in Matthew 18, verse 18 and 19. And it is because of our belief in this that we hold to the exact presentations of the apostles as respecting the divine will, and allowing no testimony by subsequent followers of the Lord to have the same weight or influence. Respecting the apostles alone, we have the assurance that they were divinely supervised, that whatever they forbade or allowed, was under a heavenly guidance and sanction. Our text, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. Matthew 16:19.
And in conclusion, we will sing together a closing evening prayer, which will be on the screen.
Brother Gene, I'm sure that each of us was able to find something that was inspiring and encouraging and